A Rayo Original Podcast.
Chloe Bros, your chronological age is 30. Your biological age.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, my God.
This is What's My Age Again, the podcast where we test your biological age against the number on your driving license. Do you have a driving license?
I do, yes.
Ooh, my guest today is Chloe Burrows, TV personality, podcaster, professional oversharer, self-confessed party girl, and the new Kiss breakfast host. Since Love Island, Chloe's life has been fast, wild nights, public breakups, yep. Trolling, ADHD diagnosis, dating disasters, and a lot of liquid IV.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's all correct.
She's someone who lives loudly, laughs loudly, and sometimes crashes loudly too. So today we're asking Chloe whether her body is as young as her birth certificate says, or whether the chaos of her 20s has aged her faster than she thinks. Dun, dun, dun. Welcome to What's My Age Again.
Thank you for having me. That was all really, really true.
It looks bleak, Chloe.
Someone's got to do it. You know what I mean?
So what's your chronological age now?
I'm 30.
30 is young.
Thank you.
And 30 now is even younger than when I was 30.
Oh.
I'm not really sure about the physics of that, but it's changed.
I feel like it's cool again. I'm going to promote that today is what I'm doing.
Yeah. 30 is cool, but 30 is also a lot of 30-year-olds still live at home.
Yeah.
A lot of 30-year-olds aren't even thinking about marriage or kids. They haven't carved out their careers yet. So in many ways, you're well ahead of the game.
Thank you. I will take that. I will take that. Tell everyone else in the industry.
They know. You've got this new Kiss breakfast job.
Yes.
That's a grown-up job.
I know. And it's in an office again. It's like I've gone back. I'm aging backwards with work.
Good.
You know?
What time do you go on air?
So I have to be in the office at 5 a.m. And then we're live from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. Monday to Friday. Giving you vibes to get you through your day.
And what are your vibes like at that time? Have you had to retrain yourself to be a morning person?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think I'm just in a state of delusion. So I get up, give myself half an hour to shower. I turn up. I thought I'd do makeup for the first week, ditch that. And then I just have like 3 massive black coffees throughout the show. And It's just enough to get me by at the moment.
So how many hours are you sleeping at night?
Oh, so I've got this Aura ring.
Yeah.
You know, they're all arranged. That's not even sponsored. I just got it. And it says I get between like 5 and 6 hours, but I don't get any REM.
Oh, no.
REM's like 40 minutes, which is bad.
How much are you supposed to get?
More than that. It always says in the morning, like my stress levels are really increased and they just get worse throughout the day.
Were you a good sleeper before this job?
Yeah, maybe. Pre-Love Island, I think I slept, like I had a really good routine. I slept 8 hours and then now in this job because I don't have routine. I don't think I have deep sleeps and I don't nap either.
Well, you do have a routine. You've just described it to me. It's just like a really early routine.
Yeah.
This could be the healthiest thing you've ever done because like this slot pretty much prohibits any partying.
But this was my condition doing it. I can't give up a good time for a job. I won't.
So you're still going out at night sometimes and then turning up for the 5. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what I like about that? It's giving Maya Jama early radio days.
She was my inspiration.
Was she?
Yes. I loved Maya Jama on the radio when she did the Halloween party and then she went into radio next day. And I thought, you know what? That's me.
Okay, that's you. But you might give yourself quite a lot of inflammation and a high biological age if you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. How old do you feel most days?
I'd like to say I feel younger than 30. Like the people in the studio, they're all 25. When I do fun shoots and that, they're all like 21. And I feel like I can get down with the kids. Mm-hmm. I feel like 24, 25. Yeah.
And how old were you when you did Love Island?
25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in a way, in a real way. And then how old were you when it was COVID?
That was the year before, 24.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I think that you basically missed out on a normal 20s.
You're so right.
Because you were famous for half of it.
Yeah.
And locked in your house for half of it.
You are so right. Gosh, I'm going to use that to justify so much in my life.
So maybe, like now, well, you're still well known. And that, does that give you anxiety?
Yes. I met anxiety 3.5, 4 years ago. And we've just been together ever since, like really quite bad.
I know that you're like moving away from Love Island and you've done so much presenting and podcasting. You've done loads of things since then.
Thank you.
But it is worth saying that you went from doing what beforehand and being catapulted by like Britain's top show for your age group.
Yeah.
That would cause some anxiety.
Yeah. I think you got on the show. I mean, I personally didn't have any expectations. I just wanted followers, but I didn't actually think I'd do that well. And when you're in there, you have no idea about public perception. But then when you leave, it's like this massive whirlwind for like 6 months and your feet don't touch the ground. And then when they do, I just think you become hyper aware of like everyone's opinion. Well, I did, like everyone's opinion and what they're saying about you. And then in comes anxiety. And then everything you do is just like, oh God, I just don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to hurt anyone. But I'm just constantly worried about what I'm doing.
It's not a natural way to live your life. It's very like parasocial. And I think especially when you do reality, it's probably harder than someone like me. Like I write jokes. I am very candid and I have like a conversation, a two-way conversation, I think, with a lot of my audience. But I do a thing and then that thing gets put away and then I get to be a mom and I get to be me. But I think when you're famous for being you, then it becomes really difficult to know where that ends and where you begin as a private person.
Yeah, for sure. And I think because I started off just being disgustingly open, no boundaries, no barriers, and people loved that. Now when I like want to take a minute, I feel guilty for doing that and like not saying everything online. I've definitely got a better balance now than I did like 2-3 years ago. Like I've learned not to post, you know, on a weekend when I'm out with my girls, you know, when I'm out and about.
What would you post? You mean like drunk posting?
Oh yeah, like 2 a.m. back of a taxi, like screaming out the window. Like that's just not cool.
It's cool. I think it's fun. And especially in Britain, they will excuse a lot if you're pissed.
Yes.
Like they're buttoned up in many ways, but in other ways, they'll be like, well, she was pissed. Like you could do anything. Apart from like urinate on one of their statues. They don't like that.
Oh.
Anything else? You haven't done that, have you, Chloe?
No, I'm aware of probably.
Then they go, she's a young girl living her life getting pissed.
Yeah, but now I'm 30. Yeah. The narrative's definitely spun and it's like, oh, you're too old to be doing that. Da, 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 da. I think, oh, just let me live, man. I'm doing my thing.
Plus they need to remember that, like I said, you had your 20s robbed from you.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before Love Island then? You went to uni in Liverpool?
Yeah. Oh. That was a big, big party city. That was so much fun. But I actually had a really awful boyfriend at the time. So that kind of took over my uni experience. Okay. So I didn't party as much as I probably... So again, I've lost more party years, unfortunately. So I did that.
So were you in one of these like controlling relationships?
I was in a situationship for 5 years. Mm. So he never called me his girlfriend and he made me really aware of that. So that was fun.
He older than you?
Yeah, he was.
How much older?
Two, three years older than me. So I would have been 28 and he was like 23 when we met. Yeah. Yeah. And he was really cool. Like he had a lot of followers back in the day. So I thought it was amazing. So I just kind of loved him for 5 years. And then one day I just woke up and I just hated him.
Great.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's a beautiful day.
That was a really good day. So I went to uni in Liverpool. I managed to do well at uni and then I moved to London and got a job in finance. So I worked in finance, yeah.
What did you do in finance?
So originally I was a paraplanner. So they do kind of the calculations behind a financial advisor.
What? Like,
I know.
Is this what you studied in uni?
No, I did marketing.
So why do they give you a job in finance? This is worrying. This is why the pound is so low.
It was my fault.
Nepotism.
Yes.
Fine.
Literally nepotism.
Just say that, man.
Well, my dad's financial advisor, when I lived in Bristol, he gave me a job and then I worked my way up to head office. But then I moved into marketing and then I did a bit of cold calling, kind of did it all. And then Love Island rang. So I thought, I'm going
to
do
you knew that. How to do it. You know how to do finance.
Yeah, I'm a bit out of touch.
You're like, really
I couldn't
smart.
Give you advice that. Yeah, although I think I was a lot smarter back in the day than I am now, for sure.
Certainly not. You just haven't done it in a while because you've been busy doing all this other stuff.
Yeah, a bit rusty.
That's nothing to like brush off. There are a lot of people today in this room on this couch who can't do finance.
I'm not saying I can. Like, there was a pretty easy spreadsheet with formulas, but I used to understand it for sure. But
that is great.
Thank you.
Do you know, I know something about you that you might not even know is that there was another show. See, I don't know how this casting process works, really.
Hmm.
Did you have an Instagram or a TikTok or a social media that you just had lots of pretty pictures on?
No, not at all. To get onto Love Island?
Yeah, because how do they find you for these shows?
Through a friend of a friend. She was a producer and then they kind of asked me to do a few other shows.
Yeah, there was another show that you were very much a front runner for that they told me after Love Island, we almost got Chloe for that. And that would have been a different show, but really interesting. Yeah. So you were probably just wandering around the halls, the corridors of ITV, and they were like, where do we put her? But they knew something was special about you?
Yeah. I'm not saying that. Was it the show where it was six single blokes and six taken blokes? And there was going to be one girl? Because I almost did that. And then I had because it was COVID, people still weren't allowed at the house.
Right.
I remember I had a few Zoom calls for that show, but then Love Island came and I was like, I really want to do Love Island, so please let me.
So did you get different offers, but you recognized Love Island and you wanted to do that one because you watched that one?
I don't think I got a final offer for the first one, but Love Island, they kind of did, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So when you came out, was the reception mixed? Because I remember Bobby and I, my husband, yes, we really liked you guys, the person you were partnered up with at the time. Yeah, and I think I saw a lot of things in you that have catapulted you to the success now. Like, I love that you talk about everything and you seem really authentic. I think when you watch a lot of chat shows, especially in America, have been canceled recently, that TV format is really inauthentic.
Mm.
And people are moving to podcasts and they're moving to places where they feel like something real is happening.
Yeah.
So we loved that about you. But you're saying that when you came out, there were people who didn't like that, or you faced criticism?
No, it was when the first 4 weeks I was in the show, people really, really didn't like me and they really took it out on me, social media. And then when I came out, I couldn't tell you. It seemed pretty positive.
Good.
But I think if you do a show like Love Island, you're never going to have 100% nice messages. You're just not. And then maybe after 6 months, maybe I spent more time looking, but then I started to see all the negative comments and things people were saying. And then that really takes its toll on you because you've never had it before.
And that's when anxiety set in.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's bad for the biological test.
Yes.
I've done a few of these now.
The
test does not like stress, does not like anxiety.
Yeah, I have debilitating anxiety.
You don't.
Maybe it's my ADHD, but I take things so, is it called rejection?
Yeah, rejection sensitive dysphoria.
Yeah, So I take things so personally, and anything I do, I'll think of every single outcome, and then I'll obviously think of the worst possible thing that could happen, and that's all I'll think about the whole day. Like, my manager won't even know if there's anything bad or like any, you know, tiny little hiccups. They'll call me in the evening, so I'll be going to bed soon. Like, it's just, I will just spiral out of control. Yeah.
Well, maybe they shouldn't call you in the evening with this breakfast job. Be like, we're going to tell her at 10 a.m.
Don't ever tell me. I'd rather not know any bad news. Yeah.
Oh, no. So what happens then? Like, walk me through, as someone who does not have anxiety.
Oh my gosh, so jealous of you.
You see something and then...
Yeah, so maybe I'll potentially get a call about something that's happened. And it doesn't have to be really bad, but my brain will automatically think it's really, really awful. And I'll kind of just shut down and I won't want to speak. And then I'm panicking, spiraling. And then, you know, say if it's something to do with social media, I am searching to find it, to be ahead of it, and then keep a lid on it. And like looking at what people are saying, particular people are saying, and just, it will just consume me. And then, but I can, you know, I've worked on it before, but I'm definitely a lot lackluster. I'm not fully on the ball. And then when I go home, I'll just completely cut off. Like, I won't look at my phone, I won't speak to anyone. And I just like stay in my room because I feel safe in my room. And then try and distract myself, but it never works. I always have a bath, actually.
That's good. Well, it's good that you then have a reset. You have a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So you see something negative, your brain just misfires and opens up 1,000 tabs.
Yes.
And you think of the worst possible scenario.
Mm.
I think I understand. And you're trying to imagine different outcomes so that you can imagine how to resolve every single scenario.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to, no wonder you freeze.
No.
And is it true? I think I read that you realized you had ADHD from the Love Island caretakers or whatever they're like.
Yeah, the welfare team.
So they come in and they make sure you're sound to go on the show.
Yeah. Yes, sound is subjective.
Sound enough.
They just let me on there. They do like a lot of calls beforehand, like hours and hours, and they speak to your family. That's from my experience. Then when I left, you kind of get like a closing the book call. And you get one call like a couple of days after and then one a week after. And the one show after the show, they said, oh, we did notice like you really struggled with your ADHD. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, have you never been checked. And I was like, no, I've never ever thought that. And then, but my brothers have it and my sister has got ADHD. Well, everyone has it in my family. So I thought, oh, I better go get checked. So I went to two separate doctors and they were both like, hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did they check you for that? They ask you questions or do they do?
Yeah, so they're pretty similar. The first one was a huge questionnaire before I went in there. And then I went in and I spoke to him for like 2 hours and he was just speaking about my life and basically going from year to year to year and how I dealt with things. And then the second one was slightly more about how would I react in this situation? Because I thought I'd just get a second opinion. So I kind of went in there assuming that I had it. So then it was more like, how do you react in this situation? How do you feel about this? It was more like emotional. But both of them said, you've got ADHD.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's new. It's amazing that the energy that goes into masking something like that too.
Yeah.
So do you feel relieved that you don't have to mask it as much anymore, or has it changed nothing?
I don't know if it's changed. I think it's definitely given me a better excuse for not being on top of things. Like I do go straight to that. It's not because I didn't intend to go on the medication before. I've never been on it. So I think now it's just more awareness of why. Not for me, but the people around me. Like my management now completely understand me. They know how to deal with me. So yeah, I think it's more that than anything.
That's so cool. I love that, like, we live in a world now where so many more people are being diagnosed, women especially.
Yeah.
And my daughter was recently diagnosed with it, and I can't make it my thing because that would be really toxic. But now that I'm reading about it for her, I'm like, oh my God, I have so much ADHD.
Yeah.
But I can't. Now I can't have ADHD because I'll be going, well, actually, I've had ADHD all along. You know, it's just not. It's like quite a toxic mom thing.
I think my mom's got it and I do self-diagnose her all the time. And she's like, no, I don't.
Excuse me, your mom is patient zero. She has four kids who have ADHD. Maybe none of you have it and you just have a mom who has it.
Yeah, we've just learned all that behavior from my mom. Yeah, probably. No, she's definitely got it for sure.
I think in many ways it can be really good. And I hate to say that about any type of neurodiversity because people take offense. They go, no, it's debilitating for me. And I don't officially have ADHD.
Yeah.
But I think that all I see is your brain, shuts down on you sometimes and does the rejection sensitive dysphoria. That's not great for you. It could contribute to a high biological age. But in other ways, you have interest in so many things. You can do finance. You can do marketing. You can multitask. And I'm sure it's really good on a breakfast show to be able to go, now this, now that, now let's do that.
Yeah.
And if you were neurotypical, you might not be so talented at all those things.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do think, thank God I have it for this job because it keeps you like, well, me personally, not generalizing, but I think in situations like I do always have something to do or say and that's kept me paid. Thank God.
That's really good.
Thank you.
What is your current relationship status, if you don't mind me asking?
I am in a relationship.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, I check this with all young women, Chloe, because I hope that you would have maybe listened to some of my warnings over the years. All right.
He's too nice to not be in a relationship with. So we've been together a year, very happy, but it's long distance, which I think really works for me. Yeah.
How long? The North Pole?
Yes, it's Father Christmas. Love Island. Do you remember Millie and her ex-boyfriend?
Yes.
It's her ex-boyfriend's best friend. So he is also from Wales. He's from Merthyr Tydfil.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
And you live with Millie?
I do. Yeah, we've lived together for years and years.
That's really nice. Okay. Do girls exercise?
Okay, I did before starting Kiss Breakfast because there's not enough time in the day. I'm too tired now. Yeah. But before, I was really into like my running. I dabbled in Pilates, but I found it quite boring. Gym whenever I could. But at the moment, not even one bit of exercise.
Well, no, you can't do it with that schedule, especially if you're partying at night.
I get my steps in that.
I see you maybe a few years from now. I think that this routine could be really amazing. Like today I was up at 4 and that's because I have 4 kids.
Yeah.
And it was hell for me, I won't lie. But I go to bed as early as I can now.
Yes.
Could you see a version of yourself where you really lean into this? It's like people are loving you on Kiss Breakfast. It's all going really well. And you decide, you know what, Millie, you and I, we're going to have one party night a week, the girls.
Yes.
And the rest of the nights, I'm going to bed with a book at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some like sound baths, meditation.
Yeah.
So I don't look at the trolls on my phone.
Honestly, yeah.
I don't spiral on socials. Then you can work out. You could be one of these losers. You could work out at 3 a.m.
I honestly could. I merely bought a walking pad and she put it away, but I've brought it back out.
Fine.
And I will, you know, in the future be doing all of the above for sure. Just not this week.
Okay. You said there's never ever been a Friday night that you didn't go out?
No. Or at least had three large glasses of wine. Yeah.
How do you think that's impacting your biological age?
Really, really bad, I'm assuming.
I don't know. You're in a new relationship.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. He lives long distance. You do need to unwind. Do you think that anxiety plays a role in you wanting to just like shut off and let loose?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I think it's like opening a can of worms. But whenever I have a glass of wine, this is really bad promo for self-care, but don't do as I say. But I find when I have a glass of wine, like my head goes really quiet and I am no longer worried and I can take on the world again. Like it's a temporary solution. It's not, you know, I'd maybe once a week, I don't think is that bad personally.
Oh, if it's only the Friday, that's fine.
Yeah, and Sunday roast. Like I love a glass of wine with a Sunday roast. Okay.
And what about Monday?
Yeah, no.
Tuesday?
Tuesday, no, that's no fun. Thursdays is always fun.
Okay.
Thirsty Thursdays is why I worked in the city. It's part of my routine. Yeah.
You know, you probably partied and drank less in the Love Island days than you did.
It was like rehab, working in finance. I'll be really honest. Yeah, they were strict.
Yeah. And then do you use any tobacco products?
I vape. I know, how uncool. That's my least favorite thing about myself at the moment.
How did the vaping take hold?
I was with a really good friend 3 years ago, I think, and I was spiraling out of control because I was so anxious. I can't even tell you what it was about. Mm-hmm. I remember we were sat on my sofa and I was just like really panicking, like, oh my God, no one could talk to me. And then my friend said, stick that in your mouth and shut up. And I had one long drag and I thought, wow, yeah. It was great. And then I just more and more socially, because like 3 years ago, I was really partying, like I did stop last year, but I was really, really partying. And then I think vaping came hand in hand. So
that's a fun answer. 3 or 4 years ago, I was really partying and last year as well. And now, and I plan to do the same next year.
I just remember like this one specific period where I went out for a month and then that never wore off. But yeah, I really vape. I want to get hypnotized to quit.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do have aspirations of not being a vapist.
Yeah, 100%.
Because some people don't care. Some people don't want to quit.
Yeah, I'm starting to cough a lot. So I think I should quit, to be honest.
See, we didn't have vapes, obviously, when I was young. People did smoke cigarettes, but that was limited. And it became very social. I saw someone posting about it just the other day that they said, well, when you think about what a cigarette is, you get to take yourself away from the chaos, stand outside, and do breath work. You get to go. And that's what's relaxing people.
Yeah.
But with a vape, I'm sure you've got that thing in bed.
I wake and vape.
I know.
It's disgusting. But I could be doing way worse things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not.
What kind of way worse things?
I could be shooting up.
You could.
Sniffing in the morning. You know, there's loads.
I suppose you could.
Yeah, fighting. I'm just vaping.
Do you think that ADHD affects your nutrition?
Yeah, for sure. I just eat the same thing every day when I can, to be honest. Like for a few months or years, to be honest. Yeah.
Years?
Yeah. I've been having salmon with hoisin sauce, tender stem broccoli and sticky rice for 3 years now for dinner.
You could do a campaign.
I should do a campaign. Yeah. It's all I have to do. It's in the air fryer and it takes me 14 minutes door to door. Yeah.
What do you mean? So hang on. It's like a ready meal or you put it together?
No. So get the salmon, put it in the air fryer, drench it in hoisin sauce, 12 minutes.
Great.
Then you kind of prep your broccoli whilst the salmon's on, and then you boil that for 4 minutes, and then you drain it, and then I kind of fry it with like sesame oil, chili and garlic.
Whoa.
Bang your rice in, and then obviously faff around because the salmon's really hot. 14 minutes, ready to go.
Do you use a rice cooker, or do you make rice on the stove, or do you have instant microwave rice?
Instant microwave, the one that takes a minute. You
That's
know,
my
like
favorite
plastic
one.
Pots. Yeah. Because if I have a full packet of instant, this is so uninteresting for anyone. But
it's very interesting. We haven't talked about rice. We haven't covered it. On the podcast before.
Oh, okay. Groundbreaking then instead. But you just know what you're getting, and I can calorie count on that. So it's
Do you
good.
Calorie count?
I try my best, yeah.
Why?
Not to be stay under a specific amount, but I think if I know around about what number, I know I'm not overeating. Because I like to indulge on a Friday night. So I bank my calories for a Friday night.
Oh, how many calories do you have?
Like a day, 600-700 I would probably have.
Where did you get that from? I didn't think people your age even knew about that.
Oh my God, I used to be in MyFitnessPal Bandit, like that app. I think it's kind of left me with a strange relationship with food, to be honest. But I just kind of know each meal where I'm at. But I'm not strict. Like if I go over, I go over. But
yeah.
I just, I'm aware.
Okay. It's a bit like a finance spreadsheet. You just like the data. You've got the
I
aura
love
ring.
Data. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe I just love data.
And do you have this salmon thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
No. Breakfast, I'm kind of loving shakshuka at the moment. I'm a month in. It's good. It's healthy. It's filling. And then lunch, I'm always kind of out and about. So just whatever I can get my hands on, really.
And whenabouts do you think you're going to go off the salmon and switch it up?
It's really good. Yeah. Like, I really enjoy it every single day.
And do you know what? You're getting loads of omega-3.
Yeah.
Do you know tender stem broccoli is like a molecular hybrid? It is kale and broccoli. Yeah. Yeah.
Great news.
When you're doing a podcast ad for them, you can't even call it broccoli. You have to call it tender stem broccoli because it's like a specific, it isn't broccoli.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow, even better. Oh, great.
Well, this is all very good for the biological age,
okay,
I think.
Good. Yeah, that is good. But no, on a weekend, I'll get a takeaway on a Friday. And then I love a roast dinner on a Sunday. And then whatever happens on Saturday, happens on Saturday.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's some anxiety. There's obviously stress from becoming super famous overnight.
Super famous.
Well, it's true because there are some shows. You could be on the telly.
Yeah.
And it attracts a very different sort of watcher than being on Love Island, being on Strictly, being on certain shows.
Yeah.
They do make you instantly very famous, and that's stressful for people.
It's very stressful.
And then let's talk about grief, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I saw you lost a really good friend in 2023.
I did. Yeah, my best friend.
Your
I lost
best
him.
Friend.
Yeah, it was really, really awful. I was actually filming Celebs Go Dating, and I found out on, it was like, oh my God, 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, because he'd taken his own life. Like a few hours before that. And I just got this text message from my friend. And then that just like kind of rocked my world. But I actually don't think I dealt with it straight away because I was filming and working. And this is when I was really partying. And like every single night I was kind of going out. And then I just, you know, got that awful news and I just went for it. And it wasn't until I kind of got like a few weeks off after Celebs Go Day. And I just remember I was absolutely miserable. And then, yeah, but I don't think that ever goes away, like that awful like heaviness, like whenever you think of them.
There are so many quotes about grief and like touch wood. Well, I have lost people, but not for a long time. I'm so old that
you
it
don't
feels
look it at all.
Well, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But recently, the people in my immediate circle, yes, thankfully, are all right. But I've seen people navigate these horrible things and they just say grief. Sometimes it's like a wave, like you don't know when it's going to come back and crash, but it comes and then you don't ever get rid of it, but you just navigate around it.
Yeah. I think I'm more avoidant. So my friends kind of, I don't actually like talking about any bad things really. Like I lost my granddad the day before I flew on Love Island. And I just remember thinking, I'm just not going to deal with this. That sounds really selfish to me, but we weren't that close or anything. And then my friends, like no one spoke about it on Love Island. So I just kind of locked it in a box. And then the same with my gorgeous friend, Ed. Everyone knows not to bring it up because it probably would set me off if I did. Like, say if we'd had a wine, obviously, I'd sit down anyways. But yeah, I think I'm just really good at avoiding it. And then when I'm with my, because we were part of a really, well, we still are really close friends. When I'm with them, I think that's when we kind of unpack it and everyone's really, really sad because it's an awful thing. But yeah.
And then how many boxes would you say you have then that you're just keeping? Because
loads. Look, I just choose to be much happier. And I just, yeah. I don't like dealing with things. I don't like anything upsetting or that's going to make me feel down. Like I try and choose happiness. But then again, social media, I do think I choose to look at bad things. So maybe I'm a hypocrite.
What kind of bad things do you see on social media?
Oh, any bad comments, any people saying awful things. Like I do go looking for that. But isn't that scientific? Negative bias. Someone told me.
Yes. Yeah. what is it that they say? It's sort of like if you had a bad experience in a restaurant, you would maybe leave a complaint. But if you had a good experience, you wouldn't always
say.
And then anything negative, people click on it more and it gets more engagement. So then media are likely, depending on the media, to publish the negative things. Yes. Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a licensed anything, but I do certainly think just from life experience that keeping these traumatic boxes. So far in this like brief chat, you've got this ex who was older than you when you were very young. I think anything that happens to you at that age, 20 years old, your frontal lobe is still developing. I think it writes on the canvas of who you are. I think it can be really damaging. I think it can give you PTSD, especially if you don't deal with it and you've put it in a Chloe box. And then you've had loss.
Yeah.
You've had anxiety. You have some funny stuff around calorie counting that seems fine to me, but yeah. I was born in 1983.
Some body
dysmorphia. I like skinny. I'm glad skinny's back.
Thank God someone said it.
And then a very public breakup.
Yeah.
After Love Island, and loads of people feeling like they have access to you. Do you have any plan to like properly address these boxes? Are they locked away in forever boxes, or are you just too busy or too neurodiverse to address what's in the boxes right now?
I think I've stacked them so high that if I open one, they're all going to come crashing down. So I dabbled in therapy after my breakup, but that's because I felt like everyone in the world hated me, which is, you know, whatever. So then I dabbled and I just found that I needed someone to kind of call me out. And they did. I spoke to three different ones and they just kept telling me to have compassion for myself. And I thought, can you just not? So I've just left therapy alone for now. But I think one day, definitely not anytime soon, I'm not dealing with any of that. Like I bumped into Paul Brunson yesterday and he was like, come on the podcast. I said, hell no. Like I'm just not ready to delve. I'll talk about as much as I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable with that for now, but maybe in a few years, who knows? But I think you're definitely right about when I was 20.
Yeah.
Like all of that kind of imprinting. Like I can recognize that for sure.
I think as your podcast mother right now, I do think it's worth doing, but also I recognize that you're really, really busy and you don't want all these boxes to come crashing down, but is there ever a good time to address them?
Yeah.
Because you're addressing them maybe in other ways, like you're switching off by drinking maybe more than you want.
Yeah.
You don't want to be vaping. And it could have an impact on your biological age, which is why I bring it up, which is why it's relevant.
Definitely will. I think I'm going to be 100 at this time. Okay.
What do you really think your biological age is going to be?
I think it'll be like 40, 45.
Based on?
That's a wild guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like stress and grief are living in your body?
I don't think grief is.
Okay.
I don't think grief is. Stress, yeah. Anxiety, yeah. Hell yeah. So maybe those.
Well, the good news about getting older is that I think, well, no, that's not true. Because then there's perimenopause and then people really freak out.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I don't have it yet, but people are scaring me.
Yeah.
And then there's loads of anxiety and you think everybody hates you.
Oh, more. Great.
Yes. Great. Allegedly. But you've got the sweet spot of in-between time. Where I think you're going to naturally get less anxious in your 30s.
Yeah, that's what people say. Like when you get to your 30s, you're going to care less. But it just surprises you. I think I definitely care less about stuff that would have bothered me last year or a year ago. Like someone called me ugly or someone saying I look like a man. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, people have been saying I was trans since I was on Love Island. Cool. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's their go-to. And then, so now that doesn't bother me at all. But because I'm in this new job at Kiss Breakfast, like I'm trying my best. I'm trying really hard to be good. And now it's a whole new, like people saying completely different things. It's like, oh God, I never thought I sound horrible through your ears. Like now I'm thinking about that. It's just a new wave, I think, of things to worry about.
I hadn't considered that that is going to add a lot of stress too, is that now you're part of a big thing.
Yeah.
Where post Love Island, as a private citizen, you could tell people to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
And now you can't.
I haven't stopped. So yeah. They made me do a social media kind of briefing the other day and I just clipped it zapped. And I think it's better to say sorry, I suppose.
Well, at least you can have less anxiety about upsetting people.
Yeah.
If you don't clap back.
They're already upset at me. Oh, if I don't clap back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I should stop that.
What do you think you could be canceled for? Like, let's approach, what's the worst case scenario?
That's a good question. What could I be canceled for? Where do we start? I think that there will be a wave because, you know, people, the Karens, and they were, you know, that kind of how people spoke about middle-aged women online. I think that they are going to kind of reform and they're going to say, I'm a really bad role model. And then people be like, actually, yeah, she's a bad role model. But I never wanted to be a role model. So that won't bother me. But I think people could say that. And I'm 30 now, so they probably think I should be mature, maybe.
No.
No.
I'll have a meeting with the Karens and I will let
them
know.
You're not anywhere near the Karens. No way.
Do you think that now that you're in a supposedly loving relationship, but I have to say that I don't trust you because you've been in some bad relationships and then also off camera, you told me that you were happy for Katie Price getting married again.
Oh God.
And now I can't really trust anything you say. I'm really worried about this guy. He sounds like a red flag.
Okay, I just think Katie Price can do no wrong in my eyes. Like, I've just loved her for years and I watch her Snapchat every day like it's part of my routine. Yeah. It really is. I just think she's an icon. As far as my boyfriend's concerned, he honestly is such a gem. Like, he is everyone who meets him says
this. This is what Katie Price would be saying about her current husband.
Well,
I agree with you that she can do no wrong, but I think wrong can be done to her.
Ah, yes.
And that's what I need to watch out for.
Right,
and that's
I see.
What I need to watch out for with you.
Yes.
You told our researchers you are a love bomber. What does that mean?
Why do I open my mouth in these researchers? Yes, I am. But I do speak about this quite. I love love. And yeah. I wonder if it's, you know, I'm a Libra, ADHD, slightly insane, past behaviors. But when I meet someone at the beginning, like I truly believe that I fall in love.
Yeah.
And I think that if I love them, they should also love me. So it's just, you know, I tell them all the time, I love them. That we're going to be together forever. But it's so funny because now I obviously don't say that to my boyfriend.
You don't.
Well, we say that I love you like every day maybe, but it's not as intense. And we don't text each other like every, it's not big paragraphs. It's just like, you know, hey, finish work. Like that's worn off. Yeah.
But so you're holding back. Have you had to train yourself to be less affectionate?
No, in this relationship, I honestly think it's the first like normal,
okay. Well,
I've been normal saying this, where I've actually behaved like a normal person, maybe not the beginning, but now I just don't feel the need to. I don't feel insecure in this relationship. I think Good. That's what it is. So now I don't feel the need to kind of overexert myself to get it back. I just have it.
Do you ever read about attachment styles in relationships?
Yeah, I have heard of them.
What would you say you are?
I think I was anxious avoider. No, yeah. Anxious attached. And now I think I don't know what I would be now, actually.
Because you're avoidant with your own stuff.
Yeah.
But you're anxious in your relationships.
Yeah.
And then now you think with this guy, you've hopefully landed in the middle and you're secure.
Yeah, I definitely feel like really secure in this one, which is good.
I'll be watching him.
Yes.
Do you think love makes you feel older or younger?
Younger.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's really nice. I think we're a year in, so I still force him to take me out on dates and do loads of holidays. So it's fun and exciting. Yes. But some weeks I do, can be boring. Yeah. And you feel, you know, people say an old married couple, but I actually love those weekends too.
Do you ever think about that shape of a family, like what you want for the future?
No, that really scares me.
Good.
Yeah, really, really scares me. He actually made quite a few jokes about like proposing this weekend and I had to tell him to stop. Mm-hmm. I don't want that right now.
Good. It's a scam.
Yes.
When is the last time you felt properly rested?
Oh, gosh. Maybe over Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe, that's recent enough.
Maybe I had like a day in bed.
Okay.
Yeah, full day. I think I watched Stranger Things and I just didn't do anything all day and I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And looking forward, because I know you've got this exciting new job and you're also doing like all kinds of other things and you like to go out on the weekends, only Friday, but then also Thursday and Sunday and whatever other day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because hearing all of this, I don't know what your biological age is. It's under that cloche.
Oh.
And in a moment, we will be joined by Dr. Nicola Conlon, our resident scientist, to help me interpret the results.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sound like it could go either way. You look really fit. You eat well. You're really beautiful and you've got great energy. And that makes me feel like you're going to be super young. But you've had these party times. There is a bit of alcohol and late night and chaos.
Yes.
So it doesn't sound as bad as you describe it to me. Like, welcome to Britain. You are allowed to be a bit of a slag around here.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be 20.
A drunk slag. Honestly, forgive a girl for having a good time.
Yes.
Like, all of my friends were all the same. We love alcohol. Any excuse to have a drink, go out, go to a pub, come around my house, like, have a good time. I want to do that.
Yes.
You know?
Looking back, not knowing what your biological age is going to be, do you think there's anything you wish that up till now you had done less of and anything you wish you had done more of?
Yes.
Or would you do it all the same?
I think when I was at university and I was in that situationship, I wish I'd have sacked it off and gone out even more, to be honest.
Yeah.
Gone out way more because I missed out on loads of raves and I love raves. They're so fun. So that's exactly what I would have done. But apart from that, no.
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 My daughter went to a rave two nights ago and she's 16 years old and that rave ended at 3 a.m., Chloe.
That's a big rave.
I made her come home at 1.
That's responsible.
Do you think that's appropriate? Do you think stuff was happening at that rave that's bad?
I don't know what rave it was, but 16, that's so good to be home at 1. Like, that's so much fun. I think what was I was lying about sleepovers and drinking White Lightning at the skate park.
Okay.
So I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you said so. So I think you are a good role model.
Oh, God, no.
Well, yeah. And then I worry about this first relationship. I don't like it because you've still said, oh, I think if I love you, then you should love me. And that really sounds like 20-year-old Chloe saying
it. Yeah. Well, it was 5 years of pure hell.
He's a bad man. I'm going to find him.
He's the worst. He's a narcissist. I don't even know what he's doing. He's probably in jail. Probably in jail.
Okay. Well, at least he can't get to Katy Price from where he is right now.
And he's the type where he would marry Katy Price. He would.
All right. Well, are you ready to reveal your biological
age? I'm nervous. But yes, okay.
So, this is the lady who took your blood.
Thank you.
She gave it to the people at Glycan Age.
Yes.
Who will presumably destroy it after how long? They have it forever.
Oh,
and
great.
Nicola Conlon, Dr. Nicola Conlon,
will
help us interpret these results. Nicola has dedicated her career to human longevity, not like you, Chloe.
Oh.
And she is over a decade of research in cellular aging.
Okay.
So there's nobody better to interpret these results. Chloe Burrows, your chronological age is 30. Your biological age.
Oh, goodness me.
Is 39.
Oh, my God. I knew it'd be older. Okay, that's fine. I love the cake, though. Loves it.
Good optimism.
Yeah. 39. Damn. Okay. Well, it could be worse.
It could be much worse.
It could be way worse.
And it is reversible.
Oh, thank God.
Doctor, what can you tell us about these results?
So one question I wanted to ask is, I know that you said since you started the new job, you're not exercising, but how much were you exercising before? Because one of the patterns that we saw in your results, it kind of mirrored what we'd see in athletes.
Thank you, first of all. I always say I'm an athlete by trade. Yeah, okay. I used to work out all the time. Like I did loads of sport growing up and I just kept in the gym like running. I was training for a marathon last year.
Right.
Now look at me.
No, but that actually explains a lot.
Oh, good.
Because obviously training, and if you are training like a lot, training's good. It's good for biological age. But if you're pairing that with another thing that you said, which is poor sleep, that's often when we see it kind of go the other way.
Right.
Because ultimately when you're training your body, whether that's like cardio, if you're training for a marathon, mm-hmm. or whether it's, you know, weights, things like that, it's the little bit of stress to the muscles, to the lungs, to the heart that has the benefit, mm. but it only has that benefit if you give your body then time to have that recovery. So were you like training every day or like?
No, maybe 5 times a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't slept well in a long time, so maybe I just thought, oh well, I'm really vain. So I kept myself in the gym loads over the years.
Yeah, okay, so that makes sense of why we kind of saw those results. But I think the thing that probably worries me a little bit more now is the new job.
Oh good,
with your sleep. But because you said with the Aura Ring,
yeah,
so when you said you're measuring your REM sleep, can you remember what deep sleep you get or what REM?
Last night it was 1 hour and 10.
Okay.
But me and my friends, they've all got them, like who I was with this weekend. And I remember they were like, Chloe, this is really bad for you. So I know it's definitely lower than whatever they're getting.
And I don't want to be a snitch, but Chloe did tell the researchers that sometimes she wakes up at 2:30 a.m. and has a dairy milk.
God's okay. Is this true?
Why is this beyond true?
Okay.
It's so true. Yeah, all packaging plastics, whatever's in my drawer.
Wow. Right, okay. That's not good.
Okay, good.
So I think, for me, I think something that would make a big impact, and you could probably see a difference in even a couple of months, is really trying to work on the sleep. And I know you struggle, but there's a few things that I've kind of picked up on listening that are probably leading to it. So first of all, I think it's really important to try and get some consistency with the sleep. So even if you know, now you've got to get up at the same time every day. So that helps because it's like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at this time. And do you eat very close to bedtime?
No, I have dinner at like 5, 6
Right,
o'clock.
That's good. Alcohol is probably one of the worst things for destroying your REM sleep.
Wow,
yeah. So if
cool.
you check your Aura, check it on a day when you don't have any and check it on a day when you do. And even like 1 glass of wine, like will destroy your sleep quality.
And why is that?
So it's just because your body's then processing, it's got your stress hormones going up, it's basically dealing with it.
Really?
Yeah, and it honestly, like literally 1 glass will make an impact. And this is crazy because a lot of people who struggle to sleep think, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine and it helps you unwind and get
it
to
does.
Sleep. So it does help you get to sleep, but you might find you wake up a lot more, the sleep's a lot more disruptive.
So we should be drinking in the day?
Well, if you're going to drink, actually having a drink earlier in the day and letting your body metabolize it and get it out the system is actually much better for sleep. So yes, daytime drinking is better for sleep quality.
Gorgeous.
And for Aura scores. I have tried it.
Noted. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I think that's really important. And there was a study recently which showed that they were able to reverse biological age by 3 years in just 8 weeks. And the little tweaks that they made were just to sleep. Also to like having some sort of practice of like trying to unwind a little bit. So I know that you said when you do get anxious, you then, you take yourself out and you have a bath or, you know, but that's when you're already anxious. So maybe trying to build in something to your routine that happens on a, you know, on a daily, even like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or at least on a weekly basis where you're having some time for yourself, where you are switching off, but not when you've already got to that point of feeling anxious.
Yeah.
And can I ask you, and tell me if I can't, is it like stigma of ADHD medication that makes you not want to try it?
If I'm really, really honest, it's because they asked me to go to another hospital and do a big liver blood test. I mean, I just couldn't be asked to go to the appointment. I have thought about it. I just can't be asked to do life admin. That is why. And obviously it was 2 years ago. I feel like I'd probably have to go and have a chat again. That's just long.
I wonder how ADHD doctors manage patients because they can't be ask to go to any of the appointments. They just sack it off or they forget or they get distracted. Honestly, like, how does anyone get an ADHD diagnosis?
Honestly,
probably by missing the appointment.
Yeah, yeah.
She's missed the appointment. Yeah, that's strike one.
She's got it. Yeah. Nothing to do with the stigma. It's just because I couldn't be bothered to pull out.
And do you, Dr. Nicola, have any views about ADHD medicine or like whether, do they know if like this anxiety and sleep deprivation, all the things that come with this dopamine thing, is it worse or better than being medicated? Do they have anything you've seen?
I think, you know, for some people, medication can work really well. For others, it can't. It's totally a personalized thing. I think if it's at the point where you feel like it's really impacting your life, then it's often worth exploring different routes.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, everyone's different. Everyone responds in different ways. And like you say, sometimes, you know, a lot of things can be helpful and a superpower.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't feel like it's really affecting you, but then if you do think maybe the anxiety is maybe stemming from that, or the sleep is suffering because of that, then, you know, it might be worth speaking to the doctor.
What about magnesium, like a natural?
So magnesium. Do you take anything to try and help you sleep before bed?
I bought magnesium, but then I had to take 4 a day.
Excuse me, you bought melatonin?
I've got melatonin and okay. I've got the ashwagandha version. Actually, let me chill. I love. Not one thought goes through my head when I pop 2 of them, but I find it makes me really tired the next day if I have to get up and go on radio. So I'll only do them on the weekend. I find that really fun.
And that's the Kardashian one?
Yeah. It's Kourtney Kardashian. Oh my gosh. I think they're really good. Obviously I won't, but because I love the Kardashians. But Let Me Sleep will knock me out for 14 hours, happily.
Interesting.
And then Let Me Chill, like in an evening, I do, if I'm playing PlayStation, I'll do that. And I'm much better at PlayStation. That is why I'm taking it. Performance enhancer for me.
Okay, so I don't know what they've got in them, but melatonin, that's a similar thing where it will help you get to sleep, but not stay asleep.
Oh.
So do you find that it's waking up in the middle of the night, that's a problem?
Yeah, I think since I've started CARES, I can definitely go to sleep a lot quicker.
Okay.
But then I just always have woken up loads throughout the night.
Have a really hot bedroom? Because sometimes having the temperature right up and having a much cooler room can make a massive difference. Because through the night, your body temperature sort of dips and it likes it cooler during the night to stay asleep. And then as your body's then signaling that it's time to get up, the temperature sort of rises and then you wake up. That's kind of naturally. So sometimes if you've got like the central heating on in the house and it's coming in the middle of the night and it's getting hot, that can often be a really simple thing that you can change.
Yeah, we have our house like 29 degrees.
That is insane.
It doesn't feel like 29 degrees outside, but we always have like 29, 30. Yeah.
Okay. So I can't remember the exact temperature, but I think it's around 18, 19.
That
you should be sleeping at.
Really?
Yeah.
Keep it at villa temperature always.
Our house is like a frat house. I won't lie. It's very fun, but it's very hot.
Maybe just worth trying that.
Turn it down, just seeing.
And again, because you've got the aura, you can like check and just see, has it improved the quality, and just try tweaking little things. Because I always say, for someone that has like a really busy life like yourself, it's really hard to suddenly start changing lots of things.
Yeah.
But sleep is like something we have to do.
Yeah.
So like, if you've got to do it anyway, try and just get that right.
Yeah. No, for sure. I love sleep. I just don't do it very well. So if I can do it better, then I'll do it better.
How do you feel about 39?
Not great. In my head, I feel like I can run and I can exercise, but maybe I can't anymore. Maybe it's been too long.
Oh, you absolutely can.
Oh, okay.
You absolutely can. Yeah. Definitely don't ditch the exercise. But it's just, if you are, maybe tone it down a little bit. I think you're not doing as much anyway, but
no,
just try and get that balance.
It's amazing. We've had elite athletes on here who score high. Women especially don't recover from exercise as well as the elite athlete men.
Yeah.
If you exercise a bit, it's good, but Nicola has said that sometimes when we have Olympian women in here, it's higher just for that reason. And you look at them and you think, you're strong, you look young, you eat well.
Yeah, and they're often shocked because they're like, you know, have lived the perfect life of not going out, not drinking, nothing, and exercising, and they think they're doing right, but it's that chronic stress on the body, especially when there's not enough recovery, that really does tip it up a bit, but it's completely reversible.
Okay,
that's the main thing.
Well, I feel better now. I feel way better. Okay, fine. I thought it was all partying anxiety and all the other stuff. I'll blame it on that.
It could just be the exercise.
Yeah. Okay, fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
So then what is the right amount of exercise, Nicola?
It's trying to do a couple of sessions a week, but mix it up. So not like doing cardio all the time. So, you know, you might want to do 3 to 4 sessions a week. Try to do some of that being resistance training, some of it being some cardio, even exercise. You know, it doesn't have to be get going to a gym or doing a specific thing. It can be just going for a walk. Go for like a brisk walk. That is great exercise. And sometimes the people who are doing, you know, just walking and things that aren't too strenuous do really well, much better than people that are absolutely hammering it at the gym, you know, 7 days a week. So yeah.
Walking's not going to get you that bikini bod.
No, running that's five times a week. It's probably not very good for you. Oh my God. Okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But cardio, running is a tricky one. So running, we do know cardio is something, especially when you're not as well, you're not giving the body the nutrition that it needs. And I know you said you eat about, 1,600 calories. Yeah. If you are doing long runs and endurance and then not refueling, again, that is like just tipping over into that kind of bad stress rather than the good stress that we actually get the gains from.
Did all the salmon show up on the test? That's good.
Salmon's great. Omega-3 is great, you know? And
that's
Yeah, I mean, the only thing would be, obviously, your diet's not very varied. So,
no,
you know, we'd like a lot of fruit and veg on this show.
I remember they asked me, how many plants
do you eat?
I thought, none? What do you mean? What plant? And I have learned what plants they are. Yeah, my diet is not amazing.
It's good that you're eating fresh food and preparing good quality food, but maybe try and add a little something extra to the tender-stem broccoli.
The thought of, like, what shall I have? Do you know what I mean? I don't think about what I'm having for dinner because I already know.
Yeah, it's just quick, easy.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's pretty good, Chloe.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And I think it's not so much about taking stuff away for you. It's just like, more is more. Yeah. You need some fruits and you need some rest.
Yeah.
And you need to like spend more time with that lovely new boyfriend.
Thank you.
Going to a designated area that I have set in advance.
Yeah.
And I will see you there.
Nice.
And make an assessment of my own.
Yes, I'll bring him.
Okay.
Do his age as well. No, yeah. I think it more sleep. That is not going to happen anytime soon. Girls getting up at 3:30. That'll have to wait. But I can definitely add more fruit and veg to my diet. That's fine. Any other tips?
Yeah, not getting more sleep, just try and improve what you're getting.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you're never going to be able to change it with this, you know, new job and getting up, and that is what it is. So it's about, you're going to have to sleep anyway. So those 5 hours that you are getting, let's try and get the REM up to an hour rather than 40 minutes or whatever it is, by making those simple switches, the temperature, maybe not having a glass of wine. If it's, you know, dedicating the wine to like a wine night.
Yeah.
And like not thinking, oh, I'll just have a glass, because it does destroy the REM.
That's why I don't drink it. I hate wine.
What do you drink?
No.
Oh, see, that's so good.
I do. Look at my shirt.
Oh.
I love.
What the hell? Yeah.
If you're a morning person, you can listen to Chloe on Kiss Breakfast Radio Show. And if you are a late night party girl, then you can listen to Chloe versus the World wherever you get your podcasts. And you can like and subscribe to this one too. What's My Age Again? Chloe Burrows. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. That was so much fun.
You can go to sleep without drinking any alcohol and get a solid 8 hours of REM, and then wake up fresh to listen to Chloe on Kiss Breakfast Show from 6 to 10, Monday to Friday, or her podcast, Chloe Versus the World. Chloe Burrows, 39, but looking like a tasty 30-year-old snack. So do what you want with your life, really. Have broccoli and go to a rave. Please like and subscribe to What's My Age Again, wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a Rayo Original Podcast.